Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today I want to talk to you briefly about the subject of fear. Now, fear is often discussed in the Bible, and the word fear is used in two different ways in the Bible. Sometimes it can have reference to respect, holding things in reverence, a dutiful obedience to God. And this is what Solomon meant when he said, "Fear God and keep his commandments." But it is also used with reference to a very basic emotion to mankind. It is defined by Webster as a painful emotion. It's marked by alarm and dread, anxious concern. When one is fearful in this sense, he's afraid, he's scared, he's disquieted. And I suppose we all have certain fears, do we not? Many of us are fearful of high places. Others are fearful of being in a cave. I know people that are afraid of flying in an airplane, and they do not fly in an airplane. Most people, at least those whom I have known, have been fearful of snakes. People will say they are afraid of poisonous snakes. Well, I personally don't like to be around them close enough to find out whether they're poisonous or not. I just don't like snakes. Some of us are like the little boy who was asked, "Are you afraid of the dark?" He says, "No, I'm not afraid of the dark, but I am afraid of what might be in the dark." Well, all of us have had this kind of dread and anxious concern at times. And when we're fearful like that, when we're scared, we have feelings of uncertainty, while we're lacking in self-confidence and assurance. When a person has that kind of fear, he recognizes his need of assistance. It is in this second sense, being scared, being afraid, being disquieted. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Fear is an emotion common to people almost everywhere in every generation. It's so widespread, and it is so disturbing, that the general reaction to fear is totally negative. It's looked upon as something that's undesirable and evil. But I want to suggest to you today, the Bible teaches us that it's not always that way. We can discover this from Scripture. Fear can be a red flag for us of danger. It can be a warning of things to avoid and to not desire. Now, do you know there's a chemical reaction, we are told, in the physical body in times of this kind of fear? It's quite interesting. When we are frightened, we are told that the adrenal glands are pour adrenaline into the bloodstream very profusely, sort of like putting high-octane gasoline into the fuel line toward the engine. And a person can become very hyperactive in fear. In a sense, it sort of supercharges that person. It might make him more active, he's stimulated, he's aroused, he's made alert. And sometimes this increase in bodily activity is quite noticeable. And then on the other hand, fear sometimes almost paralyzes a person to the extent that they feel like they can't move, they can't shout, they can't speak, they're just scared. Well, there is a type of fear that is called stage fright. I suppose every preacher at one time or another has experienced it. Some of us always have it to some extent. But even that uncomfortable feeling provides certain energy and power that's needful for the task. It may even provide more than is needed, causing the hands to tremble and the knees to wobble, the mouth becoming dry, possibly the tongue seems to become thick, and it might even become extra active. Sometimes the response to fear is very weakening. As one scared man explained, he wanted to run, but he could not run. He wanted to shout, but he couldn't utter a sound. In any circumstance, most people usually associate fear with that which is at least momentarily unpleasant. But now we raise this question, and this has to do with our spirit. Why did God make man in such a way that he should feel this kind of fear? It is because this kind of fear is not always bad, friend. Indeed, it can be very worthwhile. It can be used to provide for our safety. It can be a motivation to us to perform the task that otherwise we may not be able to do and wouldn't even tackle. Now, those who train speakers assure us that a certain amount of fear is helpful in speaking. And have we not read and hear about what we call them sort of superhuman deeds that often at times of emergencies, when people are frightened, like at a time of a house fire, people have been known to lift and carry out objects from that house that otherwise they've never been able to lift or to move. Well, from even nations sometimes are aroused to danger and threat through fear. Enemies of our nation cause us to fear. The approaching of a storm may cause us to fear. But preparedness for emergencies can often be urged upon people when motivated by fear. They wouldn't prepare if they had not been afraid. It is certainly true that students sometimes may be led to do a better job of preparing for their classes when there is a fear of expulsion or failure, a fear maybe of not being able to get a job if they don't graduate. It causes them to work harder. So we cannot demean all fear. And fear, friend, has been used by the Lord and often has been a prelude or the beginning of the steps toward great accomplishments. Now, consider for a moment some Old Testament demonstrations of this very fact. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it tells us about Noah. He was warned of God, and the Bible says he was moved with fear. Now, there can't be any doubt that Noah had respect for the word of God. But who could doubt that a prediction of the overflowing the entire world with water? That was certainly a frightening consideration. Noah hadn't even seen it rain up to that time, as far as we can tell. But he was motivated to obedience when he was moved with fear. The Bible says that Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God, and this was when God called him from the burning bush. He was afraid because he thought if one saw God, he would be killed. Well, because of fear, his sense of a personal inadequacy was there. He was certainly humbled before God, and he offered one excuse after another why he should not do what God called him to do. But in his humility, he finally agreed to obey God. It was the beginning steps of a life of immeasurable service to God, and it began at a time when Moses hid his face because he was afraid. Well, we read in the Bible about the great woman named Esther. Before Esther crowned herself with glory for saving Israel from annihilation at the instigation of wicked Haman, she was possessed with fear. Mordecai, her uncle, told her to make a plea, or her cousin, I believe it was, to make a plea to the king for Israel. Now, Haman, of course, was designing things whereby he could destroy all of the Jews. But she was afraid to go before the king, except at his request, because it was, if one came before the king and he had not requested it, he was subject to death. But she finally agreed to go and said, "If I perish, I perish. If an appearance displeased the king, it could have meant her death. But we know how she overcame this fear, and she acted on the behalf of her people. And there are several examples of fear before the momentous events recorded in the New Testament. On one occasion, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Some had fished all night, and they'd caught nothing. But when the Lord told them to launch out into the deep, to lower their nets once again, they caught so many fish that the boat began to sink. And Peter was astonished, and so much so that Jesus had to reassure them by their words, "Fear not." In Luke's record, we read how fear came upon Mary when she was told that she was going to bear the Christ child. And it was also so of the Philippian jailer at the earthquake when Paul and Silas was in his jail. He was fearful. He came in and said, "What must I do to be saved?" But friend, there's absolutely no doubt that the Lord's warning of hell strikes fear in the heart of those who believe the Word of God. The Bible reveals to us death, both physical and spiritual. It tells us of the lake of fire and brimstone and an eternal punishment, that there is a warning of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a separation from God, an eternal abode with the devil and his angels and outer darkness. Who is so bold as to not have fear when he realizes there is such a thing awaiting those who disobey God? God uses fear as one of the three motivating factors for serving him. Now, he offers us a reward to encourage us to be obedient. "Great is your reward which is in heaven," Jesus said. And the response of the love of God causes us to love God in return. But friend, fear also has a role. The Bible's not written, of course, just to scare people. But that element is there, and that's what I want to get across today. Sometimes people, when they're faced with the reality of death and the prospect of an eternal hell, they've been moved to open their heart to the loving message of salvation. Yes, fear has served a vital role in making people realize the inability to meet the judgment. It has made people see that they can't save themselves, and they turn seeking salvation from Jesus Christ. We need to consider the phrase that we read in the book of John. Nobody questions the fear that fear brings torment. He said, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." We don't fear. We love. That's the highest motive for serving God. But friend, the more love we have for God, the less fear we will have of death, the less fear we will have of the judgment, the less fear we will have of punishment in eternity. And we are convinced that any rational and reasonable person that believes the Word of God will certainly have a fear of hell. And if a person fears hell, that could be his first great step toward his salvation. If there was power within me to create fear within people to get them to obey, I would. But we would persuade you to respond to the love of God for you and render obedience to his gospel, that when you leave this life, there be no fear. All will be well with your soul. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.